From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 1 and following, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. There were four ministers that decided to begin a support group, an accountability group, some would call it, a time for them to share one another's journey, but also speak of their own temptations and weaknesses, those that they needed to covet with one another to strengthen their journey and their ministry. The first began by saying, "Well, you know, this is kind of embarrassing, but..." He said, "I don't let a lot of people know this, but I love a good cigarette every once in a while. And I just need y'all to pray with me that I'll be able to resist that temptation more." And then the second one continued. He said, "Oh, mine's a lot worse than that." He said, "I have an addiction to gambling. I slip around and every once in a while I'll go to the horse track races." And they consoled and listened to him and tried to comfort him. The other one said, "Well, you know what?" He said, I enjoy a good stiff drink." And he said, "I try to do it respectfully in the right place, but sometimes it just gets the best of me." And then the fourth one finally chimed in. And he said, "Well, I understand all y'all's temptations and concerns, and I just got to share with you. Mine is that I like to gossip. And if y'all don't mind, I've got a few phone calls I need to make." We all have our temptations, don't we? Those things that challenge us or maybe prevent us from being the person we'd want to be always, all the time, as God's children. And isn't it assuring? I hope it is to you. It is to me today. As we hear in our scriptures, we begin this season of Lent that started this past Ash Wednesday. This focus upon Jesus himself struggling with temptations in life. His own battles. You know, I find it intriguing that these temptations that our Lord wrestled with were things that he could have been equipped with to change the world forever, to make it more of a reflection of God's glory. Isn't that the things that tempt us the most? It's not the things really that we know we shouldn't be doing, but it's the things that could be good in the proper context, but they may not be what God is calling us to individually, or as a family, or as a congregation. Jesus resisted the fact even to turn the bread, to feed the poor, to establish his kingdom right then and there without having to go to the cross of Calvary. He could have been the Lord of all the earth, the devil said. He could have proven that God would bring health and wholeness to everyone around. You see, these were true temptations for good, but not a holy calling to be God's son. And I find it inspiring to me today, and I pray you do, that Luke, as he records this, gives us an example of how our Lord Jesus found strength in his temptations. Maybe these will also strengthen us in our journey. In our scripture, it tells us that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit as it began, said that he left the place of his baptism and went into the desert, into the wilderness. You know what I find that inspiring to me? It doesn't say that the Spirit led him into the wilderness, but the Spirit was with him while he was in the wilderness. What that says to me is that Jesus went to the wilderness on his own. He understood that a time of prayer and fasting would strengthen him, his ministry, and his ability to resist the temptations of the evil one who would seek to destroy his ministry and his life-giving love to our world. So I find in that first example of our text today the reminder to us, how do we resist the temptation? To turn from the things that we want to turn from, that will make us more of a reflection of God's love and look like his children to the world around us. One thing we do is embody that same nature, that nature of prayer and fasting. Another example in our text today that I'm sure you noticed as well, that as the evil one tempted Jesus by using Scripture, or maybe we would say abusing Scripture, by taking it out of context, by trying to twist the words of life to say what he wanted to say to get Jesus to act in a way inconsistent with his calling, Jesus responded with Holy Scripture himself, reading it in the proper context. In other words, that says to me and to us, I think, that for us to strengthen our journey, not only do we pray to God and talk to God, but more importantly, we listen to what God is saying to us. And how better can we listen than in the words of Christ in our text today? By surrendering ourselves to his word, by listening to his Holy Scripture. But you know, not only do we listen in Scripture, but I think prayer and fasting is another way we listen to God. So often we think of prayer as a time when we talk to God. And it certainly is that. But prayer is also the time when we silence ourselves and empty ourselves more of the noise of the world around us, and we more intentionally focus on what God is saying. So as I began this kind of a prelude to the Lenten season, this time where we focus on turning back to God more intentionally and more fervently, I also think there are four I's this morning that I want to share with you that speak to me as a reminder of Lenten season, Lenten disciplines, and also God's call upon us of the gift of fasting and growing in our relationship with him. The first I of Lent that I am thankful for is that Lent is an intentional gift to us. It's an intentional effort for us to seek God more fully. You know, it's like this. I don't know about y'all, but when something is important to me, I put it in my calendar. I write it down. I want to be intentional not to miss it. When we embrace a season of fast in our life, in our family, or individually, personally, it's us saying that we're writing this on the calendar of our life. When I used to eat a cupcake after lunch, I'm going to give that up because I want to remember intentionally that this is a time where I need God more than anything else. So it's a time for us to focus more passionately and intentionally upon our dependence upon God. The scripture says to us that yes, as Jesus began in Luke chapter 4, that he didn't just wander into the wilderness. That was his intentional effort to go and become more intimate with the Father above. In Psalm 91 from our reading today, hear these words of the psalmist when he speaks of the intentionality of growing in our relationship with God. He says in Psalm 91:15, when they call to me, this is the psalmist quoting our God. He says, when they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. You see, in our fast, it is our more fervent call upon God. It's our intentional effort to let God know we need Him more than anything else. The second I of the Lenten fast that I'm mindful of today is not only are we speaking our intentionality to God, but the second I is we're speaking of an intimacy with God. Isn't that what happens when we fast? We're becoming more dependent. We're saying, God, I need more time with you. Haven't we all experienced the gift of loved ones? Maybe it's our partner, or perhaps it's a parent or grandparent or a niece or nephew. There's something holy in spending time with those that we love. Sometimes it's not what we say. It's just the fact that we're there, that we're communicating intimacy or our affection for them. That's what we do in prayer, and that's what we do in growing our relationship with God. When we in our fast say, I want to set aside watching TV a certain portion of my day, or I want to replace something with doing more good for the world around me, that is a way that we express our affection for our God, saying we want to spend more time with Him and less time with the things that separate us. I shared with you earlier that our Noah had sustained an injury Friday playing baseball, and it was an emotional roller coaster for him. And yesterday, his best friend, his roommate, Quade from Blue Mountain, came home to visit him just to check on him, because as we all know, there's power in presence. Haven't we all at some point in our life experienced a loss or an emptiness of a family member? And it's the fact that those people that come to spend time with us, it's not what they say. It's their affection, their intimacy, that they're communicating their love for us, right? If we experience that as humans, then don't we communicate that to God when we fast, when we pray? We say, God, I need more time with you. I want to grow in my intimacy and express my affection by setting aside this special season of my life and of our faith to grow in our relationship. The third I of the Lenten season that I think the scriptures remind us of is that the I always comes after the E. Here's what I mean by that. I becomes after everyone else. Or if we don't put ourselves after everyone, we at least put others before ourselves in every way that we can. It's a reminder to us that not only is a time of repentance and turning back to God, it's a time to turn toward others. The scriptures call us during seasons of fast to not only give up things, but to give ourselves more to being the hands and feet of Christ, to do good, to live outside of self, to share what we have with others, and to be an example of God's love to the world around us. Throughout this text today, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy, this journey of the people of Israel into the Holy Land and Moses' ministry to them and his leadership. And here's what is quoted in Deuteronomy chapter 26 from our lectionary reading today. This, during this first day of Lent, this is the text that we're shared from our Old Testament. It says in Deuteronomy 26:2, You shall take some of the first fruits of all the ground, which your harvest from the land of the Lord God is giving you, and share with those around you. I love that the writer there says, take the first fruits. Isn't that what we've been doing in our mission emphasis as a congregation? We, several months ago, we shared with you that your church session, we considered the fact that as we visited about our ability to minister to this community, let's don't give this community the core of the apple, simply what's left after we've eaten our fill, after we've satisfied all of our needs, after we've met our budget. We as a church session, your leaders, they said to me, we want to give some of the first fruits to serve this community. We're going to place a mission emphasis every month. And we've been meeting and surpassing those goals every month. You see, that's what Deuteronomy calls us to do. Not only is fasting doing without, but fasting is giving ourselves to God's work in our community and knowing the joy of living for the other. I comes after E. I, me, comes after meeting the world's needs and loving the world on behalf of our Lord. And finally, the fourth I of the Lenten season that I'm mindful of is that it's all about Easter. That's ultimately what this Lenten season is about. That's why we discipline ourselves through fasting. That's why we become more fervent in our prayer life, in our reading of Scripture, in our giving of ourselves to others. Because, friends, we are preparing ourselves for the great celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. This time where we grow in our intimacy of God, when we grow in our affection of God, when we're more intentional to spend more time with God, it's going to make our Easter celebration that much more full. The fact that we can in some small way sacrifice during this Lenten season, fast and give up things, it makes us mindful of the great an eternal sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave up much more than a piece of chocolate, who gave himself to a world in need and surrendered his very life in sacrifice for you and me and everyone who trusts in him. You know, I've shared these four I's today of what we do in our fast. But the intentionality of the fast really most of all is made prominent in the life and commitment not of us to our Lord, but of our Lord to us. Jesus Christ was intentional, friends. He went into that wilderness to prepare himself to minister to the world. And then as we approach Easter, we're reminded that he intentionally embrace the cross of Calvary to endure the greatest sacrifice our world has ever known to set us free, not just immediately, but eternally from our sin to be his children, inherited forever. So may we during this season grow more intentionally. May we grow more intimate. May we grow in serving the world around us as we prepare to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and be made daily more in his image to his glory. Amen.